First John. Not the first John in the book, but First John. It's toward the end, right in front of Revelations. There's First, Second, Third John, Jude, and Revelation. So same John, just different book of John. First John. Turn there in your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's one, should be one in the pew in front of you. But again, if you don't have one, let me give you one. I have some that I'd love to put in your hand. I'd love to put one in your hand. If you don't have a copy of the Word of God, I'd love nothing more than to give you one. No cost to you. I just want to give it to you. If you need one, you see me right after church. I'd love to put one in your hands. There's, I think, one of the best things we can do is allow people to have a copy of the Word of God. So, I want to read this passage to you. They're going to put it up on the screen. But I'm actually going to read to you out of the New King James Version. It's a little bit different than what you'll see, but you follow along or read in your copy. But I'm going to read from the New King James Version. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you so that your joy may be made full. Bow with me. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, how it encourages us and how it convicts us, but how it challenges us, and Father, how it changes us. Father, may we today here in this place be moldable. May we be willing to hear you speak to us. May we be willing to change. May we be willing to step out. May we be willing to do all that you ask of us, Father. For our sake, yes, but for your glory. We ask it in your name. Jesus, amen. All right. This passage, this letter that was written by John, he is writing, y'all, listen, this is John, the beloved disciple, the one who calls himself the beloved, the one of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. And this guy spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He knows him personally, and he tells it. He said, that which we've heard, we've seen, we've looked upon, we even handled him with our hands, he says. You saw David and I, this wasn't planned, but he gave me a big old hug. I hugged him back. That's the kind of relationship they had. They put their hands on each other, not like, I'm going to put my hands on you. You know, they loved each other. They spent a lot of time together. They had that close fellowship and that relationship that good friends have. This is that John he's writing. So this is a testimony from a real person who had a genuine, real encounter with Jesus Christ. He didn't just see him face to face. He didn't just kind of stand off. He learned from him as he walked with him day after day. In fact, this encounter that he had with Jesus was so personal, he was inspired to let us know about it. That's why he wrote this. He said, you need to know this. You need to know this. And he closes this little passage up. He says, and these things we write to you so that your joy may be made complete. This is for you that I'm telling you this, he says, because it's going to make your joy complete. He was moved with compassion and love and a desire to help us make the same connection with the Jesus Christ that he's so fondly, that he loved, that he had spent all his time with. He wants you and I to know him in the same manner. You may be thinking, well, I bet he's not here. I can't touch him. That's true. You can't touch him. You can't feel him. Maybe you can't physically see him. But yet, your spirit can certainly sense him. Your spirit can feel him. Your spirit can be moved by our Lord and our Savior. You can know him in very much the same way that John knew him. And there's coming a day when we'll see him face to face. I pray that's a good experience for you. Because honestly, there's some that when they see Jesus face to face, it's not going to be the best day of their life. Matter of fact, it'll be the beginning of some of the worst days, of the worst days of their life. Don't let that be you, my friend. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then in Psalm 34, verse 8, it also says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you ever tasted something? Raise your hand. How many of you like liver and onions? Hey, I knew Warren was, yeah. It's an A. Okay. How do you know you like liver and onions? Because you tasted it. How many of you like cabbage? Okay. A few more like cabbage than liver and onions. How about if you put liver and onions on top of cabbage? Okay. Some of you, if you don't like it, you don't like it, right? Okay. How many of you like chocolate-covered strawberries? Okay. All right. How do you know? Because you tried it. You've tasted it. You said, let me try it. Tasted it. I like that. How many of you, like me, have gone through life thinking, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. But then, I confess to you, as an adult, I have learned to like things. But it's really, that's not the exact truth. I have found out that I like things. I just never gave them a shot. I found out I like asparagus. I like mushrooms. I like cabbage. Growing up, I didn't like them. Not because I didn't like them, because I didn't know. I didn't taste them. I just looked at it and said, I don't like that stuff. Doesn't look good. Sound asparagus? How good can that be? Look, listen to how it sounds. Asparagus, that doesn't sound good. Can't be good for you. But guess what? A little bit of garlic, a little bit of bacon grease in there, and some sugar, something else. I mean, you make stuff taste pretty good. But I have learned, I have found out that I like things once I give it a taste. You don't know until you taste. The Word of God tells us if you taste it, you're going to like it. If you give God a taste, you're going to like it. You can truly taste something only when you eat it. Right? If I had an apple, I could hold it up and I could describe it to you. I could tell you it's beautiful and it's ripe and it's sweet and it's juicy, but yet it's crisp at the same time. And some of your mouth is starting to water, isn't it? If you like apples, I guess it would be. But I could tell you all of those things about that apple. And guess what? You could even tell somebody else, hey, preacher held up an apple or tell me about this apple, and he said it's ripe, and he said it's juicy, and it's sweet, and it's crisp. You could tell somebody else about that, right? You could tell them that it's good. But if you never taste it, if you never experience the taste of it, then you're just passing on somebody else's information. You don't know until you taste it. In the same way, some of you could tell me that God is good. You could tell me that he's loving. You could tell me that he's forgiving. You could tell me that he gives comfort in times of trouble. But some of you would only be passing on somebody else's information. Because you've never tasted him for yourself. Maybe you've heard that God is love. He is faithful. He is compassionate. He's merciful. He's gracious. that He provides, that He heals, and that He saves. But until you have tasted it for yourself, you really don't have any idea just what those characteristics really feel like in your own life. You see, many of us come, and we've been in church all our life. We've heard that God is good. We've heard that God is a God of mercy, that He saves. We heard that God is all-powerful, that He's all-knowing. We know all of these things. But there's a difference between knowing it and experiencing it. There's a difference between knowing how to describe what an apple tastes like because you've heard somebody else describe it, and then there's the difference between that and saying, oh, and let me tell you, I know from experience that when you do and you bite into it and it's really juicy and it runs down the corner of your mouth and it's just so good and sweet, and it's just, there's a difference in that. You can't really know unless you have experienced it. Taste and see. The Lord is good. But you don't know for sure. You can't know unless you taste it. Christian websites, radio programs, TV preachers, live preachers, they can all help you. They can help describe the Lord to you and teach you how to respond to Him. That's all good stuff. And they may even lead you to the Lord, but you must taste for yourself. And if you'll taste, you'll see that the Lord is good. As your pastor, I'm not responsible for your spiritual health. I can't be. I cannot convince you that you need a Savior either. I can tell you you do, but I can't convince you of that. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's work. I cannot even talk you into trusting Christ. Oh, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. My job is to proclaim His Word. And God does the work. He tells me in His Word that His Word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which He pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing for which He sent it. I do my part. God does His part. You do your part. Did you know you have a part to play? You do. You must respond. You must taste. Otherwise, you're just passing on somebody else's information. When we take that first step in following God, we can't help but discover that He is good and He's kind. When we begin the Christian life, our knowledge of God is partial and incomplete. But as we trust Him daily, we experience just how good He really is. Can somebody tell me God is good? How do you know? How do you know? You've tasted. You found out that it's good, right? Many people today try to deny that Jesus ever even existed, y'all. Did you know that? They'll tell you. They'll look for all kinds of ways to declare that Jesus was just a myth. And unfortunately, they've succeeded in persuading some to believe these mistruths. That's a fancy word for lies. They even criticize what they don't understand about the Holy Scriptures which testify to Jesus Christ in His life. But the one thing they cannot take away from those people who have given their lives to Jesus is that personal experience. The experience that people have had with the God who has wiped their tears, transformed their callous hearts into something beautiful and tender. You see, they have tasted and they've seen that the Lord is good. And nothing can take that away. Did you know nothing can take your experiences away from you? Do you know Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? Have you tasted Him? Have you just heard about Him and believe all that stuff, but you've never really, really experienced, you've never really tasted? You've just kind of gone on somebody else's info. It's a good start. There's more. You're going to taste it and you're going to like it. You're going to find that you like it. You're going to find that you don't even like it. You don't just like it. You're going to crave it. If you don't know Jesus, what's keeping you from knowing him? It's not him. If you haven't already done so, I would encourage you and urge you to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Accept what he has to offer you, and you too will see that the Lord is good. On the back of the bulletin, if you have your we changed it up a little bit. On the back of the bulletin, we printed in there the plan of salvation. It's just these steps are not a magical chant. You know, magic doesn't happen if you say the words. It's not a series of duties or tasks that must be performed for you to be saved. It's just a guide. See, this is based on Scripture, and I believe that the Bible teaches that when you believe in your heart what Scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ begins a transformation. It's a process, a process of transformation that is genuine, it's effective, and it's evidenced through our actions and our attitudes. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? A transformation must be evidenced in our attitudes and in our actions. Here in East Texas, there's a saying that goes much like one out in West Texas where I grew up. The proof's in the pudding. Right? Somebody says, "This is good pudding." How do you know? I don't know. It looks good. Well, let's test it and see. You take a taste and you go, the proof's in the pudding. It's good stuff. I tasted it. It's true. You don't know until you taste. It's a process, this salvation process, this thing of coming to know Christ. It's a process. It's never ending. But yet, has results that the end result is eternal salvation forever. It never ends, but it lasts forever. It goes on forever. Eternity we're talking about, folks. Taste. You will see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted, you'll develop a craving. Maybe, let's get real, maybe you've tasted before. And maybe you've decided to go on a diet. Yeah, you ever know anybody like that? Yeah, I gave Jesus a taste, but I'm gonna diet for a little while. I'm just gonna kind of shed some unwanted pounds. I'm gonna go on a diet. Let me tell you, Jesus is not junk food. Diet from the junk and get back on Jesus. You'll begin to look and feel healthy in your spirit again. You seen those advertisements on the TV? They say all you have to do is you have to take this pill, or you have to drink this shake, or you wear this electronic belt. Yeah, some of y'all seen that, right? You wear this belt, you put the batteries there and there, and then you just do whatever you want to, and the pounds just fall off. They just melt away, right? No matter what you eat, they just melt away. I'll tell you, the best way to be healthy is to eat healthy. That's what your doctor will tell you. How many of you have been to the doctor? And the doctor says, all right, you need to be eating a little more healthy. You need to cut out some stuff, cut out some of the high cholesterol. Has anybody ever been told any of that? Nobody. It's 4, 5. Okay. Now there's some more honest people coming up. Why do they tell you that? Because it's true. It's true. Eat healthy, they say. The same is true in our spiritual life. We can't really expect to become spiritually healthy by taking the pill of Sunday morning church and then eating junk all week, right? Is that really going to help us to be spiritually healthy? Coming to church but then living like everybody else the rest of the week? No. What about by wearing the electronic belt of a daily devotional while laying on the couch with a bag of potato chips and dipping it in daily gossip? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We can't expect to get good results from drinking this healthy shake of men's and women's ministry and then chasing it down with a large order of chili cheese fries covered with a layer of selfishness. Some of you are saying, I like chili cheese fries. But you know what I'm talking about, right? We take this good, healthy stuff, and we think, well, okay, I got my dose of this. Now I'm going to go over here and indulge in all this other stuff that it feels good, tastes good, looks good, all that kind of stuff. And we expect, really? We expect the good results, and we wonder, why am I still like this? Why do I feel lethargic? Why am I belt, you know, I need to get bigger ones. Why did my shirt shrink in the washer? Why do we do that? We know better. And the truth is, in our spiritual lives, we know better too. I want to challenge you. If you have not given and taken a taste of my Lord and my Savior, taste and you'll see that He's good. Get a true taste of the Lord. You will see that He's good. No one can make you taste. But here's the good news. No one can keep you from tasting either. It's your decision. I urge you to decide today. And remember that no decision is a decision. Isn't that right? If you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know, today's just not the day. You know what really that's saying? If it's not a yes, what is it? It's a no. Maybe later. But for right now, no. No, let me urge you. If the Spirit, listen, remember, I can't convince you. Even if I could, it wouldn't be right for me to do it. Because it wouldn't be real in your life. The Holy Spirit is the one that convinces. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that draws. But if you feel that, if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, if you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you, if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to respond to it. Respond to it. And you will see that you like it. Give it a taste. Some of you, remember, you've been dieting. Don't diet from Jesus. Come back to the good life. Come back to the savory food. Come back to the stuff that lasts, the stuff that's eternal. Remember what it tastes like. Diet from all the junk stuff. I'm not sure where you are today. I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm not even sure where I am. But I know that each and every day that I wake up, I have to make some decisions. I have to decide today, what am I going to do? Today, how am I going to live? Today is Jesus number one in my life. And when I wake up tomorrow, should the Lord give me tomorrow? I have to answer the same question that day. Today, the Bible tells us, while today is still called today, respond. I'm not going to tug and plead with you. I just want to encourage you. If the Lord is dealing with you, if the Lord's calling you to do something, maybe the Lord's calling you to give your life to Him for the very first time and to be saved for all of eternity. Maybe the Lord's telling you, you know what? You need to come back to me. Get back into the fellowship. Come back to the banquet table and eat the good stuff. Maybe God's telling you to do that. Come on back today while it's still called today. Maybe the Lord's calling you to join the fellowship of Dolan Baptist Church and be part of the things that are going on. If that's true, respond to that today. I told some folks last week we're visiting, and I've told many, many other people this. Listen, this is kind of specifically for our guests, but we want people here at Dolan Baptist Church that are called by God to be at Dolan Baptist Church. And if that's you, we want you here. We have work for you. God has stuff for you to do here. But let me tell you something. If God has in mind for you to be somewhere else, God bless you. We want you to be wherever God wants you to be. If that's here, we want you. If it's somewhere else, I don't mean it to be ugly, but we don't want you here because we want what's best for you. We want you where God wants you. But again, if that's here today, respond today. If you feel that in your spirit, any of these decisions, if I can be of assistance to you, I'll be here in the front. We have the prayer benches on each side. Mark, we're going to sing just a couple of verses. We're not going to tarry long. I've already taken up almost all of your morning. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As Mark leads us, you stand. We'll sing a couple of verses.